Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Remember, you can always listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play KNSS Radio, and make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show on Facebook and True Social, and follow me on Twitter at John X. I always forget that, at John R. Whitmer, to get all the latest updates on the show. And of course, give us a call. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. Love to hear from you. Well, during Tuesday's debate, Tim Walz touted a failed Senate border bill which mandated processing 1,400 illegal aliens every day, a bill that would have codified the Biden-Harris border policies, which have resulted in the largest spike in illegal immigration in history. And then again, on Friday, Vice President Harris visited the southern border for the first time as a presidential candidate, where she said she would bring back the failed Senate bill and sign it into law. Like it's that easy to just do that. Nah, just bring it back. I'll sign it. So what exactly would that infamous Senate bill have accomplished? Well, with us to answer that question is Numbers USA Research Director Eric Rourke. Eric, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you back on the show again, brother.
It's always great to be on with you. And you described it perfectly. It would have codified the border policies that we see now from the Biden-Harris administration. And it did. It mandated 1,400 inadmissible aliens to be processed into the U.S. and released a day. And you know that's the Democrats, particularly Harris and Walz, that's the story. Not only is this is our border plan or this is our immigration plan, but the fact that the border isn't secure is because Donald Trump stopped it from passing the Senate. And what they ignore is that the House had passed H.R. 2, Secure the Border Act, which was an actual tough enforcement bill. And that would have gone a long way towards securing the border. The Senate border bill would have rubber stamped the policies we have that were put in place by the Biden administration.
And yet, if you listen to Democrats or, for that matter, the mainstream media, the Senate bill would have solved all of our immigration problems. I mean, they make it out like it would have hired all the necessary new personnel. It would have put in all the necessary judges, and everything would have been great and perfect, and everything fixed everything at the border. They say it's the most comprehensive bill ever done. Perfect legislation solves everything. I mean, would it have?
Well, it depends on what your view is, and I think I know what your view is. I can certainly tell you Numbers USA's view is very different than
mine's
than
probably the same as yours.
Right. So fixing it, yes, the bill would have given more money to border patrol agents, but it would have given them more money to process more inadmissible aliens into the country more quickly.
That doesn't fix the problem, though.
Right. No, it doesn't stop the problem of illegal immigration,
right.
But it does, if you want to use the term optics, and that's what they've done with parole, and that's what they've done with some of the other programs, the CBP One app, where you go on your phone and you make an appointment, but you have no legal right to enter the country. It's managing illegal immigration. It's aiding and abetting it, really, and saying that this is a solution to the crisis.
Right. It doesn't stop illegal. It didn't build more wall. It didn't send the ones that are here back. It just makes the process of letting more of them in go faster, basically.
That's basically correct. And ultimately, if there is an administration who comes in after the Biden administration, of course, we will have one. It just depends on who it is. If an administration comes in who wants to crack down, the Senate bill would have on illegal immigration, the Senate bill would have made it much more difficult because it didn't address the abuses of the Biden administration. But it also didn't address the fact that people can show up and claim credible fear. Say that if you return me to my home country, I'm going to be persecuted. It didn't say you actually have to demonstrate. You just have to say that, and we will release you into the country. And here's an important point, and this is really what was very frustrating, because we did have some Republicans in the Senate who were pushing this, Senator Lankford from Oklahoma, most notably, who said that this would end catch and release. But the bill would have ended catch and release by calling it non-custodial detention. So that's how they solved it, just calling it something else.
Which, okay. Yeah, so, right. Again, this is just, it's so typical government. It's so typical government. We're talking with Numbers USA Director of Research and Public Relations, Eric Rourke. So then the other big talking point that we hear out of Democrats and the media in particular is that Donald Trump didn't like the bill, so he had Republicans kill it. That too is very disingenuous, as if you know what the real workings behind it, that's also just a whole host of hogwash. Am I right? Because we both know that that bill was dead on arrival when it went to the House.
And dead on arrival was the term used by Speaker of the House,
right?
Mike Johnson.
Yes.
And so, yes, it was, there was no chance that this was going to get through the House. It didn't even get through the Senate, number one.
Right.
But it was no way if the Senate had managed to get enough votes that it was going to pass. And this is the thing. Donald Trump came out after the bill had already basically failed. He knew it was going to fail. He came out. He was right to oppose it. But the bill was going to fail whether or not he supported or opposed that bill. And this is, you know, the Senate and Mitch McConnell, who's the minority leader, Republican leader in the Senate, that he and Schumer came out and said, this is the deal. You take it or leave it, while ignoring the fact that H.R. 2 was the position that Mike Johnson said is our position in the House. And if you don't have a Senate deal that has provisions of H.R. 2 in it, we're not going to take the bill up. So the Senate basically acted as if H.R. 2 didn't exist and the House of Representatives was irrelevant to the process of passing a bill into law.
I'm glad you mentioned H.R. 2, because that's the House version. That's the bill that they passed. The second one they took up, this biennium or whatever they call it. And that's the one that has been literally sitting in Chucky Schumer's drawer collecting dust now. He's never going to take that up, much like Johnson never would have taken up the Senate bill, correct? So both of these bills are effectively dead.
Yes, both of these bills are effectively dead. Now, Speaker Johnson could have attached H.R. 2 to the Ukraine funding, which he said he was going to do. He did not do that. That was very disappointing. But H.R. 2 passed the House, and it got more votes in the Senate when it was attached as an amendment to a budget bill than the Senate deal got in the Senate. So more senators voted for H.R. 2 than voted for the Senate deal.
Yeah, but still, this is the problem with, you know, the Senate leadership right now. The Democrats won't do anything that Joe Biden or whoever manages him tells them to do. Eric, I appreciate you, brother. I every time they bring this up, and it's come up in both of the debates now, it's the media loves to hammer Donald Trump and say he's the reason that we didn't get this great immigration bill. That's why I reached out to you guys, and I just wanted to kind of pop that balloon a little bit. So we had a dose of reality. If folks want to get some, anytime they need numbers on this issue, literally, they can come to Numbers USA. But anytime they want stats, they want data, facts to combat this argument, they can visit numbersusa.com, and it's at numbersusa on X, correct?
That is correct. And Trump was right to oppose the bill, but the reason that bill died within a couple of days is because American people spoke out against it.
Yep.
And that's what people need to understand. Your voices are heard, and that's what killed that Senate bill.
Yep. No, you're absolutely right. Brother, I appreciate you as always. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday evening, my friend.
You too. Thank you so much.
We'll take a quick break, and then Kansas House Majority Leader Chris Croft will explain how Governor Kelly has abandoned all pretense for moderation and endorsed a cadre of candidates who are self-described socialists. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Had to play the Laura Kelly theme song.
Yes.
Yes, of course. It's only appropriate. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Remember, every Thursday, Americans for Prosperity Action activates the largest grassroots community operation in the country. Folks join together and phone into key federal races all across the U.S. You can join AFP every Thursday from 3 to 7 p.m. to phone for freedom. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. Well, Governor Laura Kelly's middle-of-the-road pack, there's something that's not appropriately named, on Monday endorsed 81 Democrats to go along with the four Democrats she'd endorsed during the primary. The endorsements didn't include any Republicans. So much for middle-of-the-road. Which brings into questions, for some, whether the Political Action Committee met its originally stated goal when Kelly announced the pack in August of last year. She said it would, quote, publicly endorse moderate candidates in Kansas, regardless of political party. And yet, she just endorsed all Democrats. With us now to expose Kelly for the partisan hack we all know her to be is House Majority Leader Chris Croft. Mr. Leader, thank you for joining us this evening. Always a pleasure to have you on the show, brother.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me on.
So these candidates that her middle-of-the-road pack have endorsed, I looked at some of the positions that they've taken. I mean, you're looking at, you've got multiple who support the Green New Deal. Almost all of them are all in on Medicare for all. You've got some that support cashless bail. There are a few that support defunding the police. I mean, there's some real reach across the aisle support here. I mean,
Yeah, in fact, I think the speaker, when he put his quote out on that, was pretty clear about all those things.
Yeah.
And the people that she's endorsing.
I mean, it just goes to show, for someone who is supposedly middle of the road, she's fairly out of touch. And frankly, so is the Democrat Party, out of touch with mainstream Kansans, that they think these are the issues that the majority of Kansans support.
Well, right. And John, that's the problem here. I mean, first off, you know, they talk about talk. And at the beginning of this thing, she talked a good game. But the actions that they have taken show you exactly what they're about. And it's clear that it's all one way and it's all way to the extreme left. And it's saddened to see it that way. You kind of thought, well, maybe we could work those things, but there's no way. This group is unbelievable.
Well, and the best illustration of this that I can think of is a colleague of yours who passed earlier this year, and that is Marvin Robinson, who is a Democrat who voted with the Republicans, not all the time, but whenever his conscience called upon him to do so, he voted with Republicans. But there is no room for disagreement in the Kansas Democrat Party because there are no such things as pro-life or pro-Second Amendment Democrats in the Kansas Democrat Party. And when you look at the nastiness, at the way the Democrat Party turned on Marvin Robinson for daring to vote his district and daring to vote his conscience, the way they treated him was really disgraceful.
Yeah, no, I agree. It was that was pathetic, if you ask me. I mean, the way they did that, and people don't know the words that were said, and he would tell us, and it was pretty bad.
Oh, they know. I shared. I mean, for my listeners who don't know, Marvin Robinson was an African-American, and he had colleagues on the House floor. Democrat colleagues refer to him as a House Negro, other terms like that. I mean, just vile stuff, and all because of the way he was voting.
Yeah, and that's the stuff they said to him publicly. The stuff that they said to him, to whispered at him, walking by, and the things they said there were just awful, even much worse than that. And you're right. There is no room over there for original thought. There's no room over there for your conscience. You follow the line. You toe the line or you're out. And, you know, at his funeral, you could see the difference. Who was there and who wasn't there? That should tell you everything you need to know.
Yeah, it should. We're talking with House Majority Leader Chris Croft. So I did look at a lot of her activities and a lot of where I think she's spending her money. It definitely looks like she is got a target on Johnson County. It looks like she is really focused on some key races up there. And that, I think, is designed to limit that supermajority in both chambers. How are you feeling? We're 30 days out. We're a month away. What are your thoughts looking at it a month from now?
Well, I will tell you, you're right. This is the battleground. It doesn't mean there aren't other fights out there, and we have to always maintain vision on all of them, and we are. What's great about this is, you know, we're operating as a team. We're working together. Each person has a role in this, as some are organizing walk groups, some are organizing fundraising, some are getting out and just encouraging others. And just the level of effort on our team has been amazing and is so uplifting to everybody that's out there. I will tell you, I feel great. I feel good about what we've got going. I feel good about the product of the people that we have. Our candidates are incredible. We've done a good job of getting the right people in there for this, and they're ready to fight for the freedoms and for our state and make sure we stay with the conservative values.
And we do have some, I mean, I know what you're talking about. I know Blake Carpenter was just up in Johnson County knocking on candidates, but you're right. It's not just JoCo. I mean, we've got some opportunities down here. Last week we had Eric Seligman. He's running against a Democrat. The guest right before you last hour was Christopher Parisho. He's running against Tom Sawyer. We have a great candidate out in Hutch running against Sweeley. Yep, running against Jason Probst. There's an opportunity to swing a seat. Mm-hmm. But we also have to defend Sandy Pickard and some other Republican seats that they're going after.
That's correct. But that's the nice thing about this thing. If you were trying to do it as one person by yourself doing these things, it'd be extremely difficult. And that's the thing, I think, when they're running up against us, we're running as a team working together. You're right, Blake is, it's not just Blake walking. Blake has organized people all around from our team to come up and walk all over the state. And that's what's really cool about this is he's doing that while, like I said, you got the speaker out there raising money and helping and doing things. You got the chairman who's organizing a lot of the activities and making sure that we're engaging where we need to engage and that we're lifting up all of our members and encouraging them to get out there and walk and talk and engage with the constituents. Because quite frankly, the reason the Democrats are attacking the way they are, because they have nothing.
Right.
All they have is raising taxes, having big government, and controlling our lives and taking away our freedoms. That's what they have, and they know that doesn't sell. That's their problem. They can't sell what they have. We can. We have the high ground on this one, and we're going to continue to fight.
Well, the key is, and I have to share, sadly, a lot of this comes down to money. There are a couple of events coming up on Saturday, October 12th. There is a fundraiser for Stephen Owens and Emil Berquist, which are, you know, Emil obviously running for re-election. Stephen Owens is running for the Senate. We also have a fundraiser tomorrow night here in Wichita for Representative Leo Delperdang. You guys at the RHCC have events that are constantly going on to do fundraisers to, you know, help these candidates. If you've got events that are coming up with the RHCC, if folks want to get out, if they want to door knock, if they want to donate, if they can afford to, what's the best way for them to help?
Well, a couple ways. One, we have, and first off, we do have another fundraiser out in Garden City.
Oh, good. Okay.
Coming up on the 8th. So what we've tried to do is have fundraisers all around the state, recognizing that we don't just do it in Wichita, over the Kansas City and Topeka, but Kansas is made up of Republicans all over the place. And we need to make sure we're operating as a team. And that's what this intent is, to make sure that we get out there and talk to everybody and give opportunities. So I'm excited about this one out in Garden City. I think it's going to be tremendously successful. I know we're going to achieve our goal that we have set for this year. And you know what? Money is a big deal, and we appreciate it. We're on WinRed. You can donate through that way. It's probably the easiest way. You could also send a check to RHCC at P.O. Box 2632, Topeka, Kansas, 66601. Those are the easiest ways, or if you want to write a check and give it to one of our members, and they'll make sure it gets turned in as well.
Yep, they can always reach out to me, too, through the show's Facebook page. I'll be happy to pass it on. Lastly, I know, Mr. Speaker, you're a target. You know, she would love to come after you. Mr. Leader, yeah, well, hey, yeah. You know, maybe the Dan's only got one more term, but I know you're a target. If folks want to help you, if they want to support you, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Well, you can, as far as sending an email is, Chris@CrawfordKansas.com. Send it you can mail it to my house or you can just give me a call and I'll be glad to organize it and make sure you connect with me.
CrawfordKansas.com. Leader, it's always a pleasure having you on the show. I know you guys are working 30 days. We just got to run through the tape, right? I mean, that's the key. We just
absolutely. And everybody's out there sprinting. And John, we appreciate all that you do and trying to keep everybody focused on the issues that are out there. So you keep up the great work and let's keep fighting for the people of Kansas.
Thank you, Mr. Leader. I appreciate you, brother. Carry on the fight, my friend.
All right. Talk to you later, John.
We'll take a quick break to pay a few bills. And then former Kansas State School Board member Dr. Walt Chappell will be with us to explain why he says much of the information presented to the USD 259 school board to justify their $450 million tax increase is false or misleading. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40... it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
How appropriate! Our school funding theme song, Never Enough! I'm such a smart aleck. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Never Enough! Sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by downloading the Odyssey app or telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS radio. And make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Oh, it's so appropriate. Never Enough. Oh, yeah. They hate it when I play that song. In February, voters in Wichita will be asked to approve a $450 million USD 259 tax increase. The district claims the funds are to help with $1.2 billion in deferred maintenance and will not result in any new taxes. But both of those claims are now being questioned as more information comes to light. With us now to bring us more information about the bond question is Dr. Walt Chappell. He is a former member of the Kansas Board of Education, State Board of Education. He is passionate about student achievement and success. He says the recent announcement of the master plan is rushed, unnecessary, and does not have the students' future in mind. Walt, thank you for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Thanks, John.
So let's start with the claim that the district is making that it is not a tax increase. I've made this case. I'll put it to you. You're a member of a former member of the State Board of Education. So let's just put it out there. Is this a new tax increase or not?
Yes.
Okay, so we're done. Thank you for joining us this evening. Because the case that I make is that in 2028, the current bond expires, and therefore your taxes will go down by $179 on a $200,000 home. So effectively, as long as you vote no, you're voting for your own tax cut. So it is technically a tax increase. Am I wrong?
Well, that part is correct, as well as the fact that they say, okay, we're not raising the rate. They're going to keep it at 7.5 mils.
Right.
Okay. 7.5 mils is fine, but we have an appraisal that is inflating the value of our homes, right?
Every year, yeah.
So they're actually receiving another $14 to $18 million more.
Every year, basically.
No. Over a period of years.
Oh, the period, okay.
But by next year, it'll be $4 million more and so forth. We're actually going to see our property taxes go up starting as soon as that bond issue is
correct
sold.
Right.
They're going to sell the bonds, and then we have to start paying principal and interest.
So, yeah. So the whole thing is that's a sham when they say that. How about this? Because the other justification that I've heard, and I've had long conversations with members of the school board, who the Republican members, who tried to convince me not to come out opposed to this. And we have to do this. It's necessary. There's $1.2 billion in deferred maintenance. Is that true?
Not at all. I've actually had an opportunity to see that Excel spreadsheet. I've followed this issue ever since January because I've seen this movie before. In 2008, they did the same thing where the contractors and architects came together and they said, oh, wouldn't this be wonderful if we spent all this money and your kids will see improvements in their achievement. So I was very curious in January when I heard the school board was going to be discussing changes in how we are going to educate our kids, but more specifically to close six schools. And I started listening very carefully to what was going on. And the deferred maintenance was one of the things they raised, $1.2 billion. I said, how in the heck could that possibly be?
Yeah, what have they been doing with all their maintenance? All because they always tout the silos. You know, you can't spend money out of this silo because there's always money that has to be spent on maintenance. Well, what were they spending that money on then?
Well, the issue is, I actually looked at that spreadsheet. It's 4,000 individual line items. They have gone out through a company here in town, Cox and Schaefer and Johnson. They're the architects that ran the program back in 2008, and they went to each of the schools and they listed each individual item that they wanted to do, like change out the windows, or we're going to move a wall, or we have a door we'd like to replace, or we want to put up a new roof on a building that we just built. So in the future, it'll be 5 years from now, we're going to need a new roof on this building. All of this is not deferred maintenance. It's a wish list of things these guys would like to do. And then I asked Luke Newman, the guy that's in charge of facilities, I said, Luke, tell me, how did you come up with these prices? Did you go out to bid? No. Are they on current pricing, you know, for today's cost? No. Are they on 5 year, 10 year? He couldn't tell me. But he did say that they've used software to come up with all these. All right, what are the assumptions? What are the assumptions in the calculations?
So like at our home, one of the things we would love to do is at some point we would like to put some outdoor lighting on our back porch.
Right on. So that's not deferred.
Right. But it's something we'd like to do. Yep. But according to USD 259, that would be included in the $1.2 billion in deferred maintenance.
Those 4,000 line items, when you look at that Excel spreadsheet, it's just amazing.
But that's not deferred maintenance.
It
that's a wish list
deferred.
Of items that you'd like.
That's right.
Okay.
It's a scare tactic.
It's a scare tactic.
It's an effort to try to tell the board, if you don't do this, if you don't close these buildings, and by the way, we want to close another 18 for a total of 24 buildings that we've now spent $430 million from 2008 to renovate. So it's like wadding up paper and throwing it in the trash.
Wow. Well, the other thing I want to talk about, we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to ask you about, because when they pitched this thing back in 2008, the argument was that if you build new schools, we'll get better outcomes. And you and I were just on Kansas Week on Friday. And once again, Dion Leffler made the case. And Representative John Carmichael made the case, and USC 259 is saying the same thing again now, that we can't have, if we don't have good schools, then we can't have good outcomes. When we come back, I'd like to talk about what kind of outcomes we got the last time we built a bunch of new schools, and if there's any correlation between new buildings, this kind of spending, and outcomes. All right?
Great.
We'll take a quick break. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. And from breaking news to severe weather updates, KNSS is always here for you. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles now. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radios in cars. And while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. It's time now for another Hartman Truth Minute.
I want to congratulate all of the Republican primary winners. During this primary cycle, we have supported and worked actively for opposing candidates. But now it is time we unite as Republicans headed into the general election. There is much to be done, and as conservatives and Republicans, we are better together and united. I, for one, am ready to work and deliver a victory for Donald Trump and the rest of our Kansas GOP candidates up and down the ballot. Now is the time to come together, but we must also hold accountable those who won. Campaign promises are one thing. Delivering on those promises are what matters. All too often, politicians say they think what voters want to hear in order to get elected, and then forget those promises once they get into office. Rest assured, all Kansas voters will be watching.
Yeah, hopefully. And hopefully they'll be voting, too. Don't forget my carry-on commentaries. It's the new 60-second daily features. You'll hear those three times a day, 5 days a week, right here on KNSS. Also, don't forget the Wichita Pachyderm Club meets every Friday at noon. And coming up this Saturday, the October 12th at 9:30, is the monthly meeting of Republican Women United. If you want information on any of these events, you can visit the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. With us still is Dr. Walt Chapples, a former member of the Kansas Board of Education. So, Walt, you know, before the break, we talked about basically about achievement. There's a, according to a recent niche.com survey, Wichita Public Schools ranked 15th among local regional schools. The lowest grade, sadly, was in academics. And yet they still want more money from local taxpayers. One of the arguments that they make is that, you know, if you have newer schools, that they deserve these new school buildings. And if you have new school buildings, you'll have better achievement, better outcomes. Is there any correlation between new buildings and achievement numbers?
None.
You know, you make these answers are so quick and so simple. I mean, what kind of achievement numbers have we seen, you know, on like reading, math, as I used to say, on ciphering, you know, reading, writing, and mathematics?
Well, in 2008, we had 5 new buildings built. And that included Southeast High, for example, and Ortiz and Mueller. Let me give you some figures. Now, in Mueller, it's a brand new school. They sold the previous Mueller school on 24th Street to a very fine gentleman that I think you probably had on your show, Pastor Wade Moore.
I have had Pastor Moore on the
and
show, yes.
That Urban Prep Academy is now going strong, has been there ever since. He bought it for $40,000. They had put $2 million in it from the bond issue from 2008. And in the meantime, they built a brand new Mueller school over by the city's, whatever they call it, right? Your center right there.
Right. Yep. Yep.
Okay. My point is that Mueller School has an achievement of 6% of the students are being proficient. That's levels 3 and 4. 6%.
6% is college and career or achievement rate.
Correct.
So 94% are not making grade.
And the same situation up in Ortiz School. Ortiz was a school up on North Arkansas Avenue. They built a brand new one, tore the other one down. And now we have 12% of those students is all that are proficient. There is no relationship between brand new schools and student achievement. I've traveled around the world. When I go to other countries, I see their buildings, some of them built in the 14th century. Oxford University, for example, Cambridge University, some of the best universities in the world are built and still used, has nothing to do with student achievement.
Yeah, you're right. I remember when I was touring in Scotland and I saw parts of St. Andrews University, and that those buildings are still the original campuses. And you're right. The buildings are still the same. Now, they may have put in some new AC ductwork, but the actual edifices themselves still date back to, you know, the 18, 1700s.
So it's the same thing with Southeast High, with the other new schools they built. It has no relationship. And so for us to try to take that assumption that you've got to, I'm looking at a sheet here. They said, we're spread too thin. One of the things they say is, okay, we have to have adequate classrooms. Well, they're saying a classroom right now is 700 square feet. To make it adequate, it's got to be 900 square feet. That has no relationship whatsoever to the kids learning.
Well, and hasn't enrollment numbers for USD 259 either remained flat or effectively declined in the last few years?
For the last 30 years, it has not ever been 63,000 students, which is what they call capacity. When they used that figure, they tried to say, well, those are the seats we could fill if we had every student, you know.
We could fill.
The point I'm trying to get to is that for the last 30 years, we've ranged from 46,000 to 50,000. It fluctuates depending upon who's, you know, employed workers. We've had a number of different companies come and go. The bottom line is that they're using numbers that are actually inflated so much that it has no bearing on fact.
So what is the solution then? I mean, what if the other thing that frustrates me here is I have heard that the superintendent has told members of the school board that they will proceed with their facilities master plan with or without the passage of the bond. They do not need the bond. They do not need the tax increase to proceed with their plan. So if they don't need to raise taxes to do this, why do they have to have the tax increase then? Why couldn't they do it without raising taxes?
Well, what I've heard him say is not that simple. They say they have to have the tax increase, if you will, and the bond issue sold. A 450 is a step one. It's a three-step process. The master plan is actually $2.2 billion that will all come out of property taxes here in Wichita. So step one is to close 18 schools total in addition to the six. But they say, all right, if we don't do the bond issue, then we're going to be able to have a chance to say, all right, gosh, we're going to close the schools anyway. Now, that to me is scare tactics. It's trying to get the school board and the voters to go along with an idea that they're going to close down whether they do it or not.
Well, one of the things that's frustrating me most about this is the fact that they're spending $316,000 taxpayer money on an out-of-state consultant to sell this master plan, this tax increase, to the taxpayers. I've always hated the idea, and I think it's corrupt to use taxpayer money to lobby taxpayers for more taxpayer money. It just, it seemed, look, if you think this is necessary, if you really feel passionate that you need this bond, then go make the case to the people, but don't hire an out-of-state consultant with taxpayer money to sell it.
Well, it's not just selling. That particular individual is a consulting firm that will go out and find buyers, if you will, for the bonds. But we have now a consulting firm that they've hired from Ohio to come in and take numbers from Cox and Schaefer that are bogus to start with, and because they're the out-of-state consultants, it's supposedly true. And I sit and listen to these guys, and I'm saying, where do you get these numbers? They are not based on fact, and yet we're supposed to believe you because you're now paid by the district as a, quote, experts to come in and tell us how we're supposed to build our schools.
So you've been around this process a long time. You've, like I said, you served on the state school board. Where do you think this falls? Do you think it passes? What I'm hearing a lot from community members, they don't like it. They think the timing is bad. We're already taxed enough already. Do you think this thing passes?
Well, I hope not. And it depends on two things. First of all, we have to get people informed. And the second thing is they push this off to February for an election.
Intentionally.
When only about 8 to 10% of the people will show up. So that means that the people that listen to your show and others that actually take this serious are going to have to take time to talk to their neighbors and make sure they come to the polls and say, wait a minute, this isn't about kids. It's about profits for contractors and architects.
Do you think, and we've only got about a minute, I've said that they put it on that February ballot intentionally in the hopes of getting low voter turnout. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I tried to get him to put it on November, this November, when we have like 65% show. That would be a truly representative sample of the people in Wichita. But no, we're not going to have that.
Yeah, it's sad that it is. Walt, I appreciate you, my friend. If folks, I guess I would just tell them, stay informed, get out there, talk to your neighbors, and make sure folks are educated on this, right?
Thank you.
Appreciate you, my friend. Next week, we've got a couple very special guests who are going to be with us. Winsome Sears, the Lieutenant Governor of Virginia, and Dinesh D'Souza. So we've got a great show planned for next week. In the meantime, have a great week. Don't forget to get your Trump Vance yard signs if you're interested. It's Sedgwick County GOP and Kansans for Life. And carry on, fellow deplorables.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.